Well, good morning. It's lovely to gather with you again to worship our God. It's a highlight of the week, isn't it, to come to church and to see each other and to worship together. Let me read to you from the Psalms before I pray, and then we'll sing together. These words come from Psalm 46. I don't know what sort of situation you've got in your life at the moment, what's been going on in your week or your month or how your year has been, but listen to these words. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Let us pray. O blessed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that though the earth be pulled from underneath our feet and we feel like we're in free fall because of the disasters, the calamities, the upsets that come our way, we know that you are our refuge and our help, our strength, even in trouble. We pray, Lord, that we would find you to be such even today for us as we come into church carrying weaknesses and burdens, some of which we've borne for so long we barely even notice they're there anymore. Be our refuge, we pray. Be our strength, that we might know the eternal life that you have to give us, Father, in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You turn with me in your Bibles then to Proverbs and chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs comes right after the book of Psalms. In Proverbs 8, what we've got is we're being told about this thing called wisdom. We're being told about wisdom. And wisdom is personified in chapter 8. And what that means is that wisdom is described as if wisdom is a person. So wisdom is described as she, and wisdom speaks for us and things like that. And what's happening here is wisdom is describing for us the words of the Lord Jesus. And particularly I want you to focus as we get into verse 22 and beyond, where wisdom is described as the word is describing the words of Jesus in the creation of the universe. So Proverbs chapter 8 and from verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill. Beside the way where the paths meet, she cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen. For I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come forth right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and write to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver and gold, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, there I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life, and whoever obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Now turn with me in your Bibles to John and chapter 14. Wisdom from Proverbs 8 took flesh and became the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is speaking to his disciples here in John chapter 14. And he says a number of marvelous, wonderful things here. And we'll come to them as we go through John's Gospel. But focus on the things that he says about how the Lord Jesus says that he reveals the Father to us. So focus on those words in particular as we read John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say to us, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, but the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. So last week we had an introduction to John's Gospel, and today we're sinking our teeth into chapter 1. So turn with me to John's Gospel and chapter 1. We're just looking at the first 5 verses this morning, but we'll read the first 18 together. John chapter 1 and from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now, last week in our introduction, we talked about how the Apostle John, who wrote this gospel, is trying to impress deeply upon us that the Lord Jesus is the one who we are looking for. He is the one who has in himself life for us who need life, who has in himself purity for us who need purity. He has satisfaction in himself, and that's what we want and crave. He has the fullness in himself of God, and that is what we need. So John is trying to get across to us in his gospel, Jesus is the one you're looking for. We looked there, didn't we, in chapter 20, verse 31, and he says, These things are written that you may know that the Christ, the Son of God, is Jesus. He's the one you're looking for. And so it's quite nice, quite right, isn't it, that he starts off his gospel, and the first thing he's speaking about is the Lord Jesus. Now, remember we mentioned last week that John's gospel is absolutely bursting with themes. Do you remember that? Themes, lots of themes in John. And this introduction to the gospel in chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, is full of those themes as well. It introduces most of the themes straight off the bat so that you can recognize them as you get into the book. So if you're looking there at those verses, what sort of themes did you hear when we were reading them? talks about Christ as the light and the life of men. It talks about people in darkness and Jesus being sent and John the Baptist being sent, and John's witness is another theme, as is birth. And there's lots and lots of themes in this little thing that keeps on coming up in the rest of the book. Now, I need you to remember that when John is talking about these themes, he's not really talking about those themes. He's speaking about the Lord Jesus. So don't get distracted, as I often do when I'm reading through John's Gospel. What is this light that he's talking about? What is this birth that he's talking about? What is this sentness that he's talking about? He's speaking about the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the subject of his gospel. Jesus is the one he's talking about. He's pointing us to the Lord Jesus. And he's using these themes to talk about Jesus. And so he starts here with Jesus. Jesus is the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word there is obviously a reference to the Lord Jesus. Now, when John was writing, he's writing quite late compared to lots of the other letters and bits and pieces that make up the New Testament. And he's got on his desk, he's got his piece of paper here, and he's got his biro, and he's writing down his gospel. And he's got some other books around him that he's referring to, that he's using to write his gospel. And so sometimes he might use a bit of Matthew's gospel, and he's reading what his friend Matthew wrote, and he's using that to help him, to inform him as he's writing his own gospel. And he's got Mark there, and he's got Luke, his friend, there. What other books do you think he has on his desk? What other book does John use to write his gospel? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the Old Testament. All of it, the Old Testament. There's lots and lots and lots of Old Testament in John's Gospel. Now, do you recognize what bit of the Old Testament he's using when he writes these first words? In the beginning was the Word. He's speaking there about Genesis, isn't it? You can hear those words just as Genesis starts. In the beginning. And so you can turn to Genesis 1 if you want. You can do that now. I almost read it earlier, but we went with Proverbs. But if you look at Genesis 1, it starts there with, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And then what happens is that God speaks his word, and what comes out, the result of God speaking his word in Genesis 1, is light and life for all the world. And when you look at John's gospel in chapter 1, you have precisely the same thing. You have, in the beginning, God speaks his word. And the result of God speaking his word is light and life for all the world. You've got that there in verse 4. In Christ, the word of God was life and light. And so John is tying up Genesis 1 with his first chapter as well. They're tied up together. And so, I don't know about you, I find this absolutely scintillating, that when we're reading John 1, we're reading what John thinks Moses was talking about in Genesis 1. And so when you put them together, you've got this wonderful, wonderful picture when you've got John and Moses, and they speak to you from John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1. And when they put them together, you get this lovely, wonderful picture. They're telling us about God. And they say that the Father and the Son, who is the Word of God, lived together with the Holy Spirit forever and ever and ever. And then the Father spoke his word, his Son, the Lord Jesus, and that is how they created the world. The Father speaks the Son, who in the power of the Holy Spirit makes everything. And you've got that in Moses' words in Genesis 1 and the first two verses. In the beginning, God, that is the Father, created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, And the Spirit of God was hovering on the face of the waters. Then God, that is the Father, said with his word, that is the Son, let there be light. The Father speaks the word of God, the Son of God. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, he makes everything. You've got it there in Proverbs and chapter 8 that we read not too long ago. If you turn back with me to Proverbs and chapter 8, we'll read those verses again. A fascinating chapter that's captured attention for an awfully long time. Proverbs 8. And you've got there in verse 22, Jesus speaking and saying, "The Lord, that is God the Father, possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth." And then in verse 30, "Then I was besides him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." So there is our everlasting Trinity, especially the Father and the Son, being focused on right at the beginning of John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and he made everything. There was nothing that was made that was not made by him, the Word of God the Father." Now, we might have a little bit of a hiccup here when I ask you, when did John write this? He's writing it probably like 70, 80 AD, something like that. So how long ago had Jesus died and gone back to glory? Something like 50 years. So do you think that there were some people on planet Earth reading John's Gospel, reading these words, who could actually remember the Lord Jesus, the carpenter rabbi from Nazareth, who walked and spoke with them? Wouldn't it seem strange to them, who could remember what color his hair was, and what his breath smelled like, and what it was like to touch his hands? Do you think it would be strange to them, who knew all about him and what his mannerism was like and what his sense of humor was like, to read here that he was the beginning of everything? Although their memories were so real about the Lord Jesus, although they were so close and so human, so tangible, John has no problem at all putting Jesus at the beginning of everything. In chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made through him. He has no problem identifying Jesus as the Word of God, by whom God created all things. He is the light and life of men. John has no problem identifying that Jesus, who people could remember, as God. The Word was God. Now, this is obviously an absolute slam dunk, isn't it, on the divinity of Jesus Christ. He is God, and he is God's Son. John makes that absolutely abundantly clear in his first verse. Straight out the gate, he tells us what he thinks, what is going on. He's showing us his cards. Listen to these words from 1 John chapter 1. This is a letter that the Apostle John wrote probably after he wrote the Gospel. He says, speaking about Jesus, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life, Jesus Christ, was manifested, and we have seen him. We bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested, revealed, shown to us." So when we read into John, we're going to be bumping into the Lord Jesus proving that this was just the case. We're going to find Jesus saying things and doing things which confirm these bold statements that he is God and from God and he is from the beginning. And if it weren't for John 1, many of his readers might have gone, "Blasphemy!" and closed the book. But rather, by showing them this Jesus is Lord, it allows him to say the most amazing things about him afterwards. So there you go. Jesus is in the beginning, he says. He's in the beginning. He is God, he's with God. Now let us zoom in a little bit on what it means when he says Jesus is the Word of God. Now this is a really rich concept, Jesus as the Word of God. And we might give some time to it on a Wednesday perhaps, because it really is quite a glorious thing to think about. Let's think about what it means, the Word of God, as to what it means to know who God is. To know him in the truth. Not just to think about him and wonder, but to really know who he is. Because there's many people in the world, and you will have met them, I'm sure, who claim to have found ways to see and know God. Have you found them? Do you know these people? People talk about false religion as a way of seeing and knowing God. If you follow after the teachings of Muhammad or of Buddha or whatever, or Confucius. Or maybe you can meditate and make funny noises. Have you seen people doing that? They meditate and think. And if I can just disconnect my brain from all reality, then maybe I can see and know God. If you ask one of my barbers, he will tell you that if you smoke enough drugs, you can know God and see God. Or people talk about getting in touch with nature, or wearing the right sort of crystals on a necklace around your neck, and then you get in touch with God. And this is all utter nonsense, isn't it? We know it is. If you get on a train, say, and you're going on a long journey, you sit opposite someone, most people, isn't it? They say nothing all journey long. Doesn't matter how many hours it is, they won't say anything. But sometimes you meet somebody who's really, really chatty. And if you meet somebody on the bus or on the train or whatever, and they're a very chatty person, maybe you're one of these people. And you, when the people get off the bus, off the train, you think, I feel like I know them. I feel like I know their whole life story because they just kept on talking to me. Listen now. God does not speak at all, and we cannot know him except in Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. God speaks his word, and that is how we can know who he is. That is how we can realize who he is and know him and see him. Because he speaks his word, Jesus Christ. And when we listen to him, we know who he is. Jesus says in the reading that we had earlier, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He says earlier in John, doesn't he? No one knows the Father except the Son. And in chapter 1, we just read it a moment ago, verse 18, no one has seen God at any time, but it is the Son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who reveals him. So Jesus, being the Word of God, reveals God to us, and there's no other way. Now what you could do this afternoon, if you wanted to, I quite enjoy doing this from time to time, you take up John 1, you read the first 18 verses, and you start making a little list of all of the qualifications that Jesus has to reveal God the Father to us. And as you go through, you realize how long this list can get. Because he is God, because he knows God, because he's the Word of God, because he reveals God to us, and you just keep on going like that. He has been with God since the beginning. And that's part of John's point right at the beginning, or right off the bat. He's saying, because of Jesus' very close relationship with his Father, he is one with the Father for all eternity, of course he can show God to us. You know how I like to quote those people with funny names from a long time ago? Well, listen to this one. Theophilus of Antioch. That's a good name, isn't it? Maybe if Griff ever has a brother, I can name him Theophilus of Antioch. He was a pagan convert, and he said one day, Jesus Christ is always God from God, and he is never apart from him. That's a good one, isn't it? He's never apart from him. Of course, Jesus can reveal God to us. Another verse that captures a lot of what John is saying quite well is Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17. Let me read this to you. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We can't see God, but Jesus is the image. The firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. He's in the beginning. visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And so we're primed, aren't we, now for getting through John's gospel. When someone sees Jesus in John's gospel, when he's walking around and he meets people, when people see him and they realize who he is, don't we realize now that they see God and they know God? God reveals himself to them in Jesus Christ. That's what we read in John 14. And this is how then John can say in chapter 1 and verse 4 about Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, who reveals God to us, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the one who reveals God as Father to us. He's the one you're looking for, John is saying. He calls him the Word of God, the expression of God. When God opens his mouth and speaks, what comes out is his Son, the Lord Jesus. He calls him the light of men. He says that Jesus reveals God to men. If we have any light at all about who God is and what he's like and what he's done for us and what he will do for us and what he has to say to us, it is all in Jesus Christ. And he says that that light is the life of men. Through Jesus Christ we know God, who is eternal and abundant life in and of himself. Remember one time Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "This is eternal life. This is what it is to know you, Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So it makes sense, doesn't it, for John to say that Jesus is the Word of God, revealing God to us, and that is our light, and that is our life. How shall we apply this then? Let's apply this to ourselves. What difference does all of that information make to my week? John has just really driven home to us that the only one who can reveal God to us as Father is Jesus. There is no other way. So what does that say about all of our powers, all of our powers to discern and know who God is? What does it say about our ability to discern who God is and to learn about him and to know about him? If Jesus Christ is the only Word of God, there is no way to God besides Jesus Christ. What does that say about my own ability, my own power, to do that on my own? It means that now going into the week and for the rest of your life, you and I must not trust anyone or anything, least of all ourselves, I dare say, to know God. It is only through Jesus Christ. All of our theology, that is to speak about God, it has to start with Jesus, because he is the Word of God. And the other side of that coin then, if we're not to trust on anything except for Jesus to know God, the other side of the coin is that you and I must trust the Lord Jesus. We can only trust him, we must trust him to be the one in whom we may know God as our Father. You and I now must kick into touch and completely forget about and disavow all of our ideas of how we might know God. Forget it. It's nonsense. Jesus Christ, he is the Word of God the Father. Well, don't I have another option? Some of you might think. It'd be nice to think that, wouldn't it? Don't I have another option? Well, in a way, yes, you do. Here's your other option. Either you stop trusting anything and anyone to know God and only trust completely in Jesus Christ, or you can try to live without Jesus. You can try it. You're welcome to try it. I don't think you should. I don't want you to, but you can try it. You can see what it's like to live without he who is the life, and see how well that does you. You can try to live without the light, and you'll be in the dark. You can try to live without the word of God, and you'll never hear anything from him. You can try to live without the life, and all you'll know is death. And so in just a few verses here, John has pointed us to the Lord Jesus Christ right at the beginning as the rhyme and reason for all of life and all the universe. And he says, look, if you live without him, then it's all for nothing. You've missed the point of all things that were made. You've missed the point of life. You've missed the point of light if you're trying to live without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got something here on verse 5, like I told the children about, but I think we'll save that now because I've gone a little bit over time. We'll do that next time. So let's leave it there for now. Here is John opening up his gospel, and he's pointing us straight away to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, here is he who has always been with the Father from the beginning, and he has made all things. He says, he is the Word of God. And if you're to know anything about God, and if you're to make sense of the universe, if you're to make sense of who you are, what your life is for, what it's all about, Jesus Christ is your only hope. So think about him this week. Pray about him. Focus on him. And filter everything in life through him, because he is the light and the life of men. Amen. Let's pray before we sing together. Oh, Father, we thank you for the light that you have shed upon our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for sending him to us in the power of the Holy Spirit that is so powerful. It can take the webs off our eyes and dispel all of our darkness. We thank you for him and the powerful revelation that he is about who you are. We bless and worship you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, for the mercy that you have shown to us who are believers here this morning, that we have seen Jesus Christ, and in him we have seen you, Father, and we are filled up with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the light that is in Jesus. Thank you for the life that he is for us men and women on earth, that we need not live a life that is filled with uncertainty and darkness. We need not live a life, Lord, that is so unsure, but rather we can be given over to the knowledge of you, Father, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Thank you for the difference that this has made to us. Now, Lord, as we come to your table, and as we take of these elements that remind us of the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, even upon the cross, we pray that we should see and get what you are trying to tell us about yourself in Jesus, that in him we have a God who is willing to die to cover our sins. Lord, bless these things to us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.